path of faith, we are going to consider how a Christian pilgrim journeys from where the Spirit of the Lord finds him to the end of his experience here on earth. And as we think of this journey, we will consider it in the light of preparation for even a greater journey that will take us from this planet into the very presence of God and holy angels in heaven. An extremely important topic this is, and vitally practical to our daily lives. What must we do? How must we relate in order to be safe for Jesus Christ to risk eternal life for us and in us? Now, while we will seek to make the details of the Christian life very clear and practical, we as earthly sojourners who are longing for heaven must constantly bear in mind that we are finite. Therefore, that our understanding is limited and our ability to grasp the subtleties of the extremely complex plan of salvation is restricted. We can believe, we can live, we can appropriate divine power, we can be willing, without being able to explain every detail of what we experience and go through. Years ago, Ellen White maintained that heaven is a ceaseless approaching to God through Christ. It's a journey. We never arrive. We never stop approaching. In a billion years, God will still be infinite, and we creatures still will be finite. There are many things that will be our science and song throughout eternity. There will be many ideas, the depths and extent of which we shall never comprehend. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. Now, as we think of eternal life and the kind of behavior pattern that the disciples of Christ should manifest, we should keep clearly in mind that the authority for all these ideas rests in the Holy Scriptures. We don't know anything about virtue, about eternal life, about the power of grace, about the guidance of the Holy Spirit, about the exceeding great and precious promises by which we are buoyed up and sustained apart from the Scriptures. And so these lessons, as all Seventh-day Adventist lessons do, lay down the stipulation that we accept the Bible just as it is. God gave us the Scriptures through the prophets, sundry times, diverse manners, through the patriarchs, through the fathers. Now he has spoken to us in Jesus Christ. And the purpose of this self-revelation is that we might get to know Jesus Christ, whom to know is eternal life. So let us look into the details of this lessons with a joyous anticipation that we are going to find the path that leads to peace, to the Savior, to the exercise of true faith, to the portals of the new heavens and the new earth. Lesson number one, we need him. Mankind is in vital need to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be filled with the life of God. Look around you. Assess your unbelieving neighbors and friends. Do you know anyone intimately who does not know God, who is not guided by His Spirit, who has no hope for the future? What sort of life does he live? Is he fulfilled? Is he frustrated? Does he have real peace of soul? How is it with him? Would you change places with him? Really? Man needs God. He needs Jesus Christ. John, as he looked to the activity of the Word, the message of God, the total revelation of God's idealism, the Logos, Jesus Christ who became flesh and dwelt among us, he affirms, in him was life, and his life was the light of men. Now we today, as Christians, often talk of having the light, of seeing the light, of knowing the light, of walking in the light. We speak of light as something outside and apart from ourselves, that which we have to study, that which we have to accept, that which we have to grasp. Jesus Christ's life was light. You know, basically, this is true of each of us. We may have a profession, we may testify to the light, but if our lives are not in conformity with that light, then we're giving the lie to our testimony. And people hear much more loudly and clearly what we are and what we do than what we say. And as we think of this lesson of Jesus being the light and our need for him, let us pray that this life light of Christ might become identified with our lives, so that our lives in this darkened age might be luminous, infused with his presence. Part number one, Jesus is the healer. He comes to us as he came to the man who was lying sick there a long time, and asks a question which on the surface might sound silly. Do you want to be healed? Well, he had been lying there by the side of the pool waiting for the moving of the waters for 38 years. Surely he wanted to be healed. But did he? Did he really want to be healed? Did he really want to have the total of his life changed, its direction, its infilling? And so when Jesus Christ asks us, do you want to be healed? This is not a rhetorical question. This is a question to get us to rethink our attitudes, to rethink our status, and to come to grips with what we regard as the true priority of life. Do I want his saving spirit and grace in me? Part number two. Jesus is a spring of water. The spring never ceases. The drinking must be continual. Whosoever drinks, this is a continuous act, drinks of the water. Now, water has several functions. It slakes thirst, it is cooling, refreshing, life-giving, cleansing. Jesus is the water. Drinking is a very personal act. Do we personally want to have this cooling, refreshing, life-giving, cleansing channel from Jesus Christ to come into us? One drink in life is not enough. We have got continually to drink. So let us come to him and accept his cleansing, cooling, refreshing presence in our souls. Part number three, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Now, light is vital to activity. It's vital to the walk. It's vital to discern objects that might be in our way. It's vital to discern steps that we must take. And Jesus says, I am the light. His life was the light. And he that follows him will not walk in darkness. Now, if we keep the light behind us, then we cast our own shadow ahead of us. So we keep the light ahead of us. When you're walking in a dark pathway, you're shining the flashlight in front of you. Jesus Christ is the light in front of you. And he who keeps Christ in front of him and steps where Christ stepped and avoided the pitfalls and the obstacles that Christ avoided and plants his feet where Christ planted his feet will have the life which is light and the light which is life. Part number four, Jesus is the bread. Now we can have water, we can have light, we can have everything else. But if we do not have the nourishment that comes with eating proper food, we gain no strength. So Jesus Christ as the light shows us the way. Now as the bread, he strengthens and sustains us to walk in the way. Gives us energy, gives us power to meet all the contingencies that are before us. And Jesus said to them, he that cometh to me, this is not once, it's a continual drawing near to Christ, it's a ceaseless approaching to Christ, and he that believeth in me, this is a continual act too. One meal is not enough for life. This must be repeated. Eating is twice or three times a day. And so he that continually believes will not hunger nor thirst. Neither one drink nor one meal satisfy. We must continually eat and continually drink. Part number five, Jesus is the good shepherd. He is also the chief shepherd, and he is the great shepherd. Paul calls him the great shepherd because he was resurrected. Peter calls him the chief shepherd because he has underlings. We are under shepherds. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd because he laid down his life for the sheep. Now, not only does he invite us to walk in the light, to come and drink of him, to come and feast upon him, but he realizes that like sheep, we have wandered away. Everyone has gone to his own pathway, his own pasture, maybe lost on the mountains or in the valley. And so as the good shepherd, he looks for us. He seeks us out. And then when he finds us, as David said in the 23rd Psalm, he sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And he extends a cup to us that is running over. He leads us in the green pastures. This is the good, the chief, the great shepherd. Part number six, Jesus is the way. The way of salvation, the way of life, the way of the Lord, simply the way. Jesus Christ is the way. We can read the theory in the Word. As we look at Jesus Christ acting, we see the theory put into practice. Jesus says, love your enemies. Well, now what did he do on the cross? Jesus says, he that believeth shall never stumble. How did Jesus believe? What did he do to strengthen his belief? How did he pray? How did he study? How did he relate? How did he behave? And as we consider Jesus, we realize more and more that we certainly need him. And let us pray as we study this, that this great need will be satisfied as Jesus comes into our minds, into our thinking, into our planning, into our deciding, into our living, moment by moment.